Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
Have an Amazon smart speaker in your home or office?
What's all that about?
Just say, Alexa, play 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Okay.
And listen to Boston's home for sports. Get the app. Get The Sports Hub. Get Toucher and Rich. Download The Sports Hub app today.
.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. And you know that Phil Esposito is a hockey great. You also know for some reason he is the color commentator for an organization he hated for a very long time. You know that he puts zero effort into his broadcast. The first, I listened to a Tampa Bay game for about 5 minutes in my car one time, and from the Tampa Bay broadcast, and I heard him immediately swear, and then like leave. And
sure.
Then, yeah. So.
And then you heard him during this blowout, the 4-game sweep. The Columbus Blue Jackets instead of the Lightning, like with every goal scorer, was like, "You gotta be kidding me!" And he just like would just it would be like your old grandfather watching a game, just complaining. No real color commentary, just him getting pissed off and yelling at whatever was in front of him.
All right, but now, he's not a man whose passion is just about hockey. He's a man of very many opinions on the issues of this country.
It's true. So somehow, in the dark depths of the internet, there is a internet radio television show called Next Sports Star that randomly has Phil Esposito as a guest, and it's basically should just be called Old Men Yelling at Things. I mean, a while back there was something that they a whole segment they did on global warming.
Glaciers that are melting, they say that is so full of that the glaciers are melting, Phil. You fucking ass.
And, you know, and sometimes he doesn't like what they're doing with the water.
I'm in Brazil, where there's in the water.
Apparently, they're just using the restroom right in the water there. So.
I mean, Jesus, I am so over that bullshit.
Okay, well, thank you, Phil Esposito. Well, it's not just global warming that they talk about.
So don't give me this global warming. And in the wintertime, you freeze your balls off.
Okay, so he has a new topic. It's actually, the topic's not new, but it's something that we have not heard him discuss before. This is Phil Esposito on the phone with the host, who is a guy named, I think it's Bill Waters, I think it is. He's a Canadian like television host or radio host or media personality. And so that's him in studio and Phil Esposito on the phone. Let's take a listen.
The thing that's crazy is this Pokemon, catching Pokemon. But you saw in Central Park the other night, if you guys can find it, a bunch of crazy morons with all the shit that's going on in the world looking for this Pokemon. Well, I'll tell you where he is. He's up your ass.
All right. Finally, someone has the balls to say it. Finally, someone has had the ball. I mean, these guys are running around like maniacs in Central Park. With all the things that are going on in the world, can you just imagine being in Central Park and seeing people just like doing nothing and just becoming so angered by it?
Right, just enraged.
I'll tell you what, with everything going on in the world,
they have no.
Yeah, when kids were bored before, they'd stay home and tell you we're raw. Now.
So he's encouraging self pleasure over going in.
Doing something social.
So he's like, these kids aren't taking care of themselves and there's nothing nowadays. You used to get the Sears catalog and be satisfied for a month. So his problem is that the guys are playing Pokemon instead of masturbating.
Yes, that seems to be the big problem.
They have no.
Yeah, when kids were bored before, they'd stay home and tell you we're raw. Now everybody's playing these video games.
That might be the most compelling argument I've ever heard about kids today. They're simply not masturbating enough. I have heard, but I'm not positive, that Melania Trump is going to start a campaign, much like the Say No to Drugs.
Beat Best?
That's right. It's just called the Five Knuckle Shuffle for Freedom.
Yes, Beat Best.
Sponsored by Jergens.
To keep you away from video games.
There's a big video game problem. The children are simply not, adolescents are simply not pleasuring themselves enough.
Yeah, they have no life.
You to try to get a bunch of people together for a worthy cause, it's impossible. But for a stupid game, Central Park was crazy the other night to find Pokemon. Marketing makes smell like cologne.
Again, this is over Pokemon.
The Pokemon thing, yes.
And again, he's stealing a Supreme Court case, this, the state of California, against masturbation.
Yeah, and what was all those passwords? And marketing makes blank smell like cologne.
It was the state of California against the Catholic Church for dissuading people from masturbating.
Well, Frank, there was a guy on the Toronto radio station this morning who had found 100 Pokemon, and he was so proud of it.
But what the f*** does that do? Did it pay his hydro bill?
Didn't do a thing. What it just allowed him to play with his hands. It's disgusting. I think the games are the root of all evil.
There's no f*** way in the middle of the night.
the root of all evil.
That's right. These guys are kind of... I'm guessing the sobriety on Esposito when he gets on these things is not...
When he gets on these things.
Yeah.
And only then.
I'm thinking that he's calling in with a bit of a... He's feeling good about himself.
I think the games are the root of all evil.
There's no f***ing way in the middle of the night. I'm going to jump in my car and go to Central Park to look for an imaginary. That's when you know you're thousand guys. Can you tell me how many people were there? There was thousands from what I read. You got an exact number, guys?
How stupid. What's wrong with those people?
Well, it shows the power of marketing. It shows
The power of where we are in the world. That's up. Well, the next thing we'll do is they'll say Pokemon's there, and they'll all get there, and some guy will have three guys have machine guns and mow them down.
Whoa, even it's quite the jump.
God. So they're saying that they're putting themselves too much. They're putting themselves too much in a public place, inviting terrorism.
The designer of the Pokemon game will encourage people to go to a place, and then he'll murder them all.
Billy Jaffe says this particular one's not Phil. This is Bill Walters talking.
No, it's got both of them. That's Phil. That's Phil who said that.
Okay.
Yeah, Bill Walters is there too. There's two people on the phone and one guy there.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
It's just a cacophony of people.
No, over 70.
The mow them down is Esposito. The dude who saw or heard a guy call into the Toronto station, that's Bill Walters.
Okay, so he's saying in New York City, if you congregate, if people are congregating, it's going to cause a terrorist act. Is basically what he's saying. They seem to very extreme views.
They'll say Pokemon's there, and they'll all get there, and some guy will have three guys have machine guns and mow them down.
Do we know how many people? Huh? Okay, find out. But it was crazy. The people were shocked.
It says a couple hundred people at 11 p.m.
At 11 p.m., 200 people ran into Central Park to chase a f***ing imaginary midget. A bunch of crazy morons.
Yes.
With all the shit that's going on in the world looking for this f***ing Pokemon. Well, I'll tell you where he is. He's up your ass.
Now, was that a topic? Like, did that just happen organically?
Yeah, I think, I don't know.
Or did they sit down with, like, bifocals on before the show?
The show just go, what do we get angry about?
Yeah.
The youth. What are the youth into? The Pokemon.
There's a couple hundred guys looking at the phones. Next thing you know, 85 terrorists are going to show up and mow them down.
I mean, a couple hundred. That's like half of a movie theater. That they're getting, like, enraged by.
It's disgusting.
I think the games are the root of all evil.
Of course they are.
The root of all evil, that's right.
That's stupid. What's wrong with those people?
I just like the idea that you should be home playing with yourself. Is the
didn't do a thing. What just allowed him to play with his hands.
Now, back in my day, you would just sit home and you would think of Eartha Kitt. No.
I think back when I was a kid, 12 years old, it was 1955, 56, 54. It was hotter than hell in the soup.
Okay, well, it's good. It's good to know.
It's good to know that you can't figure out your birthday either.
can't
add 12 to your birthday. All right. Well, Phil Esposito, now you're saying there's like hundreds of these?
Just every topic under the sun. And they just get enraged at everything. There was one that I listened to. It was great. It was from, like, I guess last year when Brad Marchand licked, Ryan Callahan's face?
Yeah.
It's great. It's great.
I guess there's some homophobia.
Oh, yeah. Someone does that to me when I'm on the streets. I'm biting his tongue off and I'm shoving it down his throat. And I'm like, that's not really how you wanted it to come out. You don't want to put your mouth on his tongue. Right. I know you're trying to be like ultra the other way, but it didn't come out right.
Right. You're just giving him what he wants, short of the biting it off. Fluto Shinzawa, he writes for The Athletic. He covers the Bruins. We can talk about what went wrong Saturday and what needs to change when they play tomorrow.
So don't give me this global warming. And in the wintertime, you freeze your balls up.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help LineMA.org.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Watch Toucher and Rich on Twitch. Follow the Sports Hub on Twitch.tv for live shows and reruns. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Atkinson stops far half wall, high slot Jones. Near point, Panarin shoots, Rask the save, rebound, they score! It's Duchesne who celebrates with a power play goal. The Blue Jackets victorious 3-2 in double overtime. And this series is tied at one game apiece.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Fluto Shinzawa covers hockey for The Athletic. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. A double overtime loss for the Bruins on Saturday night. Fluto, hello.
Good morning.
All right, what's going on with Pastrnak? Is it his hand? Is it a lack of confidence? And if it is a lack of confidence, why? Try to get into his mind.
Well, I suppose it could be an injury or a re-injury of the thumb, but the curious thing is then why was he pretty good? Why was he Pastrnak? And I think he was 10 regular season games after he returned. So it's hard to get that kind of information in the playoffs if he was hurt. So I'm going to say we can declaratively say that the player has very little confidence right now. Just looking at his play, his puck play, his skating is okay, but he's just not getting the real good finishing chances that he usually gets. Now, the volume is up. He's tied with Marchand in terms of shots on net. He's got 7 points, which is second most, so some of the numbers are there. It's just that last bit of finishing skill is not there, which is what sets those types of players aside from others. So I asked Bruce Cassidy about it yesterday. He thinks that perhaps the stuff away from his bread and butter, the skating, stick, defensive zone awareness. Perhaps if that is aligned, then maybe the scoring will come. But this is probably a guy who's just lost in his own head and trying to figure out why it's not happening for him. It's just, it's such an easy skill for him that when it does go dry, which it does to every player, he's just kind of mystified by it. That's the way I interpret what we've been seeing from him so far. So a power play, that's the one opportunity where it's a little bit easier for him to score. He hasn't had the puck in that one timer from the left elbow, so maybe the Bruins can do a little bit better job of getting it over there to him, but easier said than done.
How much do you blame fatigue, mental fatigue? Because they looked like they were skating. I mean, and if you blame mental fatigue, how is it to, how much is it going to change having these 2 days off?
Critical. There's no question that Columbus has, is at an advantage that way, having gone through four games rather than seven against Toronto. So yes, the I would say perhaps the more the mental side is a bigger thing than the physical, just because these guys are in such great shape. And Bruce said the other day that the overtime goal, the double overtime goal that they allowed, that's a mental breakdown. That wasn't physical. That was just people, the penalty killers, not thinking clearly because, where perhaps it's just been so taxing for them to be on every single shift for so long. So for David, I'm sure yesterday was a good day just to get away, just do whatever he likes to do on off days, and then get back at practice today before they leave, and then just try and get some belief in himself that it's going to come around, which it should.
Fluto, Fred and I both agree that while Columbus is playing their best hockey of the season after sweeping Tampa Bay, through the first two games, it's obvious to us anyway, the Bruins are the better team, and they should dictate whether or not they win or lose. Do you agree or disagree?
I think the chance quality has been good. Probably the chances were better for them in game two than it was for Columbus, but that's all negated when the goalie's playing as well he is. And Bobrovsky was absolutely tremendous in game two. So where does that give them confidence going into the rest of the series? It makes them feel like they can do anything if the goalie is playing that well. And on the flip side, the Bruins are probably wondering, well, geez, what is it going to take to get one past this guy? Just because the Bergeron chances, the Grizzlick dump in, like these are all pucks that should go in. So I think that certainly helps Columbus. And then going back home and getting some players back, whether it's Dzingel, maybe he might play in game three after being scratched in game two. Like they're feeling good about themselves. I don't think we've seen Columbus's best just because Dubois, I haven't really seen him that much. Werenski, I think he's hurt, so maybe he's a little bit off his game. But then the other players, the big-name players, Jones makes the play on the power play goal. Atkinson makes the play, and then Panarin was tremendous, and then Duchesne gets the winner. So, like, a lot of their grade-A players are playing well. Perhaps you can make the argument that Bruins have been better. I would say the chance quality has been better, but the goaltending's been terrific.
Okay, but one thing I took away from that game that's a positive, and you can tell me if I'm crazy, is that the Bruins did not particularly play well, and they made, you know, uncharacteristic mistakes. They got nothing out of their first two lines, yep. And it still went to double overtime. Do you take any positive out of that?
I suppose, yeah, you can certainly point to the two regulation goals and say, okay, Zdeno's got to get that puck out on that flip, or Charlie, he can't make that soft play coming out of the corner that leads to the turnover. So yes, you can say these are kind of unforced errors that led to those goals, and without those, and with better puck management, the Bruins would be in better shape and they'd be up two. But then you can say, oh, why did they make these errors? Again, we can go back to the mental fatigue. It's just not thinking clearly after being under such duress for so long. Or maybe they're thinking, geez, I don't want to get hit by these guys. These guys are Anderson, Jenner, Foligno. They're going to take my head off. Maybe that's why, perhaps, like in Coyle's instance, maybe he rushes that play just because you don't want to get your clock clean. So that's not going to change. Columbus is going to be even more pumped to play that way at home for these next two games, so the physicality is going to express itself even more, and if that's even possible in these next couple of games. So yes, I agree. Puck management certainly a bad thing for the Bruins in game two. So perhaps if they clean that up, they'll be in good shape going into three.
What, based on what you've seen so far, and I don't know if you want to include the regular season meetings. I think not. Too much time has passed, and there's been better hockey played by both teams. But do you see the Bruins winning this series? I'm trying to get a read on where your feelings are here.
It's close. Like, I always thought it was going to be seven and the Bruins in seven, so nothing that I've seen so far changes that. And as the deeper, like, it would have been really, of course, stating the obvious, right? Bruins would have been in better shape if they had won the first two games. But just because of the rest advantage that Columbus had, you would figure they would get their legs better and have more juice as you advance deeper into the series. So the Bruins would have been in really good shape with those first two in their pocket. But that said, like, I like the way Columbus plays playoff hockey, just because they're going to be physical. They're going to have real good sticks. I think you really notice that in game two. And then the goaltending is, like, you can get 15, 20 great chances if you're the Bruins, but if you're Bobrovsky and taking away those chances, then that's just such a huge advantage to have, especially with a goalie that hasn't had too much playoff success before this year. So I can't see it not going seven at this point, the way that both teams are playing.
Right, because there's nothing more enjoyable than a seventh game when it comes to you're going to make a little bit more money if they win. all right, so you do think that this two games off or 2 days off is going to make a difference for the Bruins?
Oh, of course. Just having that, like, to be grinding for that long against Toronto, and then to be going to these overtime games. Of course, that's huge. But Columbus got a break too, so it's even.
Pretty much every other day for the Bruins for 2.5-3 weeks.
Yeah. It's been since the beginning of the playoffs. Yeah.
It's just funny how an athlete's body, it seems like a long time to us, but I don't know how long it seems to them. All right, so Fluto Chinzawa from The Athletic, thank you so much for the time, sir.
Pleasure.
All right, appreciate it.
I'm sorry, I was distracted. On the phone, he sounds just like Gene Simmons.
There's almost like an ASMR quality,
like,
to his voice.
Exact. Mike in the other room says, thumbs up. Like, it's Gene Simmons.
I can see that.
The cadence, the way he speaks.
Yeah.
Like, as soon as he starts, and we've had Fluto on a bunch, but for some reason it's the first time. Like, from the moment he started speaking, I'm like, this is Gene Simmons.
Should have asked him whether or not Columbus likes to party.
I should have. Well, DeShane obviously thinks that. Or, I'm sorry, Dubinsky, not DeShane. Dubinsky's like, listen, the crowd's going to be a hell of a lot louder than it was in Boston. Yeah, you know what I mean, Columbus.
He's more of a Paul, is what you're saying.
Yeah, he's more of a Paul Stanley. But, I mean, that was the best. All these, like, Bruins writers were retweeting it, like, what are you going to take that, Bruins fans? Like, come on, what is he supposed to say?
Well, yeah.
Our fans are the best in the world.
Again, I have a friend of mine that moved to Cincinnati 2 years ago, and he sent me a text saying, like, hey, the Bruins are going down from a bandwagon Blue Jackets fan. I said, with the Blue Jackets? This is the big thing for you? Is that you're going to go full on Blue Jackets on the people?
That is kind of funny, you know, that just one extra day off, because you're right. I mean, they've been doing every other day for a while now. Whereas, like, the Celtics, I mean, they could go on a beach vacation between games. It's kind of awesome.
Unless you go to Milwaukee, which is the problem.
Sure.
Now, they play Tuesday.
Yeah, so yes, you're flipping tomorrow. You're using the clicker tomorrow night.
That's great. Celtics and Bruins, same time. Well, I have a feeling that you're not going to have to worry too much about that Celtics.
Okay, I do want to talk about that, because Paul Pierce even has the same opinion you do. That one game can be such an ass-kicking that it makes you completely reconsider an entire series. I don't think that's fair.
I think Milwaukee's going to adjust. I think offensively, especially, they're going to adjust.
I think yesterday was they got surprised. Yeah. I think the starting lineup surprised them. Yeah. I thought that they thought that they was going to do the Aaron Baines and Al Horford type of setup, and they were ready for that. And when they said, nope, we're going offensive and we're spread it out,
yeah, but
it completely effed with everything.
I know, but that's good for a quarter and a half.
I'm with you. I thought they were going to adjust.
Budenholzer is a pretty good head coach. I think there was ample time for him to revamp things. I think he will, though, for tomorrow night.
I mean,
Horford outplayed Giannis.
He did.
So. He did.
And he's played Giannis hard.
Right.
Like, for the past, like, last year he played them hard. This year he did. But, I mean, it was a group effort. It wasn't just Horford.
No, but they went in. You know they went in and they said, Al, you're going to carry us for a while. I mean, he had the most shots of anyone on the team.
Well, that rejection was demoralizing. Like, sometimes there's a play that
the
happens in a game.
The sequence was great.
Yeah, there's sometimes a play that happens in a game that just rips your heart out. And I think that that was the moment that there was no turning back. I think that they just their energy went down after that, and it was just a, oh my God. And then you've seen the photo that just came out of Jaylen Brown.
Dunking over Giannis.
It's one of the better sports photos of the year. It's Jaylen Brown dunking on Giannis. And that picture gets
shot
out there.
Is from underneath the basket looking up. It's really good.
It couldn't have been more humiliating for that team. And I just don't think I think that team has been way too good for too long for them to just sit on their hands and not do something. Giannis is going to have a monster game.
They're going to get Giannis away from Al Horford. Game two,
you'll see.
Good luck.
Plus,
you're not going to be forced to play Tatum as much because he showed that he's incapable of playing.
Tatum was excellent in the Pacers series. Excellent.
Yeah,
he had an off game.
Really? Yeah.
But he didn't need to have a big game. They were murdering him anyway.
It's the beauty of this team, Fred. It doesn't. You don't need Jason Tatum.
Would be excellent if I played a bunch of sixth graders too. So I mean, you know. All right.
It's like the Avengers. Every once in a while, Arrow Man can sit this one out.
This is a good point. That's Jason Tatum's Arrow Man with no arrows. Here are the headlines.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5 Sports.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here, 800-327-5050 or gamblinghelplinema.org.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Brady won't throw me the ball because he has no trust in me.
Rich.
I have a super dry tongue. Look.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Well, Celtics playing a road game when you have come in here and this capacity crowd is dead quiet. You could hear a small mouse pee on cotton right now.
I'm just letting that sit that, there.
It does. Now you have to be quiet so you might hear it.
3-point play for Ilya Sobe.
All right, so
you're right. I'm hearing that for the first time. I think you're right.
No, he says peeing on cotton.
He said picking, right?
He said peeing on cotton.
I thought he said you could hear a small mouse peeling cotton.
You said peeing on cotton. Okay, because originally I thought it was peeing on a carpet.
Okay.
But that sounded to me like peeing on cotton.
Yeah, I was in the car for chunks of that game. So I heard a lot of Cedric Maxwell.
Yeah, Cedric Maxwell was phenomenal. And entertaining, should I say. He was either legitimately good with his call, bat crap crazy with some of them. This one I thought was a pretty nice little back.
Giannis, Euro step pass Horford. Tatum comes to the backside, blocks the shot. Horford swats the second one, pounds it into the ground. Out of bounds it goes. Bucks will get it. But Al Horford with a thunderous block on Giannis, and you don't see that often.
Take that with your Greek salad, okay? Slap, pow, down.
Okay, so that one was a little weird.
That's like when people in other markets on the radio say, have fun with your chowder.
That's right. Hey, you got any more beans up there in Beantown?
Mm-hmm.
But then there was a moment which I did not get to hear, so we're going to hear this for the first time together as a family. There was a part where Sean Grandy was doing Sean Grandy does like big moments better than most broadcasters. And he was trying to do a nice little tribute to John Havlicek, who obviously passed away. And so he had done his entire speech and talking about him, as he had, I think, earlier too as well. But then he went to go turn it over to Cedric Maxwell, Once again, I've not heard this yet. I've just been told about it. And this is Cedric Maxwell being asked to, I guess, maybe get a little sentimental.
All right. I do not have that.
You do have it.
Oh, Max.
Yeah.
All righty. Here we go. All right. John Havlicek had passed away. All right. Here we go.
Are you with the general consensus that as great a player as John Havlicek was, he managed to do nearly the impossible, which is to be a better man than he was a player?
Yeah, I don't know that. He was a good family man. And John was very private. Everybody wants to say, well, John was this great guy who did. John was very private. And a lot of stuff he did with his family. But I don't remember John doing a lot of things out in the community. He didn't connect that way. He loved his wife. His wife loved him.
I mean, you got to tell the truth. I mean, I don't listen. You know, I mean, the guy liked his family. That was all right.
You know, is it true what people are saying is that as good of a player as he was a better man? Well, I don't really want to go there.
No, I mean, listen.
I mean, he really didn't do much out of the community that I saw, but.
Yeah, you know, he kind of kept to himself. I mean, I'll tell you.
I want Max to do my eulogy. Rich certainly, I didn't really see him much.
I mean, he's no Greg Kite. I mean, I'll tell you that. I mean, that's a guy who went out there and started rubbing elbows.
Yeah.
It's such like a layup question.
I wouldn't go that far.
But it's such a layup question. Like, it's like even like a dumb question. Like,
right. Would anyone because, would just know. Yeah,
99.9%. Because it's one you don't even think about.
No, it's just, yeah, I mean, you're right. He was like a great man.
Empty platitudes and like, yeah, he was great off the court. Like, I mean, because like that's not something you think about. Like, you just. It's kind of like a boring question that you just shove out an answer.
You got to go back. I have to hear. I have to hear
it.
That.
I got it.
John was very private.
All the way back.
All right. You see I'm doing this visually.
I do. All right.
Let's go here.
Are you with the general consensus that as great a player as John Havlicek was, he managed to do nearly the impossible, which is to be a better man than he was a player?
Yeah, I don't know that. He was a good family man. And John was very private. Everybody wants to say, well, John was this great guy who did. John was very private. And a lot of stuff he did with his family. But I don't remember John doing a lot of things out in the community. He didn't connect that way. He loved his wife. His wife loved him. And the thing that, you know, for me was watching John and talking to John. Not about basketball, but about his love as a sportsman. John would go on these trips before there was YouTube, before all these things. He would go on those trips. He would go to Montana. He would go to Alaska. He would do the hunting. He would kill.
Before YouTube?
What is he talking about?
Wait, he was an outdoorsman. I get it.
Before YouTube made it cool to hunt?
Before you, well, no one ever went to Montana before YouTube. I mean,
it didn't exist.
There's all these YouTube influencers that got everyone running out to Montana. You know, at first, it was before the dancing baby.
It basically willed Montana into existence.
You know, it was before the Kiss Destroyer album. And he would go out there.
Hang on. Okay, you got to rewind it, let it play from what I'm being told. You got to rewind it, let it play. Just when he starts okay. Talking about the, you got
to,
yeah.
All right. Okay. So don't stop it, is what you're saying. Okay.
Are you with the general consensus that as great a player as John
has to go all the way back. It's got to go to where he starts talking about YouTube.
It's a 2-minute, listen, I don't know. I can't read your dumb minds here.
I'm being told things in my headphones.
I know, and I'm not, so give me a break.
Are you with the general consensus that as great a player as John Havlicek was, he managed to do nearly the impossible, which is to be a better man than he was a player?
Yeah, I don't know that. He was a good family man. And John was very private. Everybody wants to say, well, John was this great guy who did. John was very private. And a lot of stuff he did with his family. But I don't remember John doing a lot of things out in the community. He didn't connect that way. He loved his wife. His wife loved him. The thing that, you know, for me was watching John and talking to John, not about basketball, but about his love as a sportsman. John would go on these trips before there was YouTube, before all these things. He would go on those trips. He would go to Montana. He would go to Alaska. He would do the hunting. He would kill, you know, all these animals. And I would sit there and catch these big fish and sleep out in the open. And I would sit there. You know, I am about nature shows. It's like me listening to one of those nature guys talking to me like, and then the bighorn sheep came down and we spied it from 2 miles away. And I took my rifle out. John was like that. And that is what I got from him. Not the everybody's, oh, he was the greatest man. I don't know anything about that. But I know he's a great family man, but and people loved him. But he was a great sportsman. And that.
I don't know about how a good human being he was, but he loved killing the hell out of stuff.
Well, the thing is that he goes, you know how I love nature shows? He was great about talking about nature. He would regale me with stories of hunting. He'd sleep out there without a sleeping bag, just only the carcass of a dead mule covering his naked body.
He was Bear Grylls, basically, back in the day.
That's right.
Before YouTube.
And that was funny because Kurt Gowdy was one of the guys he used to go out with on these shows. And it was, I want to say it was ABC, Wild World of Sports, where they would have American Hunters or whatever that title was. And John would be one of those guys. And he was fishing. He was hunting. You know, it was really strange.
It's going to be an interesting week and a fascinating week for people who are too young to really have seen him play. And I'm in that category.
I want my eulogy to end with, it was pretty strange.
Yeah, there's not a lot of cohesion in that or being coherent in that whole thing. You know, I liked, he went out there and he killed a bunch of stuff. It was weird. You know, and it was before YouTube.
This is that commercial come to life that they were running during March Madness. Where just they turn it over to the color guy and he was just completely lost and yeah, just yeah. This is this in real life. Like I don't know where Maxwell went with that, but it was interesting as hell.
And you'll have to remember this was all before Howard the Duck came out in theaters. He would go out and he would go on these. He was a woodsman. You know. We had not even heard the Bad album at that point. And there he was in the woods. It was weird.
That's how it ended. That's how his eulogy ended. It's weird. By the way, I wonder if Sean Grandy has just trained himself that every time Cedric Maxwell talks, what he actually hears is... and he just nods his head until he's done talking and then goes back to what he was going to say.
I mean, nothing Cedric Maxwell said is wrong. It just was an odd... way of saying things. You know, he was a man who loved his family and loved the woods. And it was weird.
and not community service.
No, it was just weird. His whole life was just... If I had one word to describe his life, it would be weird.
It's pretty weird. So it's as long as Max has talked without mentioning food. That's an excellent point.
Well, I mean, carcasses of dead animals are essentially food.
Before Netscape Navigator, he was truly a pioneer.
Yeah. I mean, they didn't have any of that.
I got to process that.
Yeah, it's not even that he said that he wasn't like a philanthropist. It's just that he talked about how weird it was. All right. Well, there you go. Cedric Maxwell with the eulogy of John Havlicek. And I don't think that there could be a better one that I've heard.
Nope. And that's the way he lived. Kind of strange.
It's better than someone just saying, yeah, he was like a saint of a man. I mean, you know, he said what he felt. And God bless him for it. All right, so we will return shortly.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help. MA.org.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
.org.
For the latest podcasts, for the latest sports news, and for Toucher and Rich, download the 98.5 The Sports Hub app now.
.5 The Sports Hub, where Toucher and Rich, Mr. Lockhart. Hey, get on the mic, please. All right, so I'm seeing here that Lonnie Johnson is a cornerback. He was at Kentucky, and he was drafted in the second round by the Houston Texans, and people in Houston are very excited about that. Now, there was an issue with him, though, that something happened?
Yeah, he spent a few too many years in junior college because he made a big mistake on one of his exams, and it's in this audio that you have on the Vox Pro there.
All right, here we go.
With the 54th pick in the 2019 NFL Draft, the Houston Texans select Lonnie Johnson, DB, Kentucky.
Lonnie Johnson, Kentucky, has had a very interesting journey to get to where he was. He grew up in Gary, Indiana. The words Scary Gary are inked across his left arm. He had real issues qualifying. He had to go to junior college for 3 years because after he committed to Ohio State, he never qualified academically. In fact, one time his name was spelled wrong on the ACT that he needed to qualify. There was an extra N in his name, and because of that, he was not allowed to count that score. So he spent 3 years in junior college.
Whoa.
A new low.
Good for Kentucky.
I'm wondering.
He misspelled his own name.
Yeah. Oh. Well, no, Ohio State didn't let him in. He couldn't. So if Ohio State.
That's the biggest upset out of all of this. Ohio State didn't let him in.
Oh, this poor guy.
And then Kentucky was just like, poor guy. He's going to be a multimillionaire.
I mean, can you imagine? I know some pretty dumb people. I don't want to say dumb, just lost. Like, if you can't spell your name right, you're lost.
Yeah, that was when I had to stop it and rewind and be like, did that just happen?
Yeah, if you spell your name wrong on a test, you're stupid. I mean, there's no other way around it.
It's beyond that. It's just you're lost in life. Like you're. It's almost like you can't be helped.
No, you're stupid.
And he added an extra N?
Yeah. I would imagine.
What's his name?
Lonnie Johnson. So either he put three N's in Lonnie.
I believe it was three N's in Lonnie.
Oh, no. Oh, that's... Oh, no.
What? I mean, it's...
It might be.
Lonnie.
You never know. I'm surprised that the...
Names are a little stranger these days than they used to be.
I'm surprised that the public schools in Gary, Indiana weren't better.
Yeah, they didn't catch that somehow.
That somehow he managed to get through Gary, Indiana.
So they're saying that if you misspell your name...
Yeah, it doesn't
they
count.
They can't officially count that to be your score.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah, it's like the SATs. I think you lose like 200 or 300 points if you misspell your name. And I always thought that was ridiculous because who would do that? And
no,
this guy did it.
Yep. He just couldn't spell. He couldn't spell his first name that he's had. And then
someone just tweeted, says he didn't spell his name right because he didn't take the test. It's not a bad point.
Who the hell took the test?
He sent somebody dumber to take the test?
Yeah, would they get an 8-year-old to take the test?
Yeah, quite the scheme going.
If I'm having someone take the test for me and they spell Lonnie with three N's, I'm thinking I'm getting out of there.
Yeah. He's a hell of an athlete.
Right, right. It's one thing if, like, he spelled Lonnie with one N or two N's instead of one. But to put three N's in Lonnie.
No, Rich.
That means you're just not smart.
If it's been your name for your entire life.
I'm saying if it's somebody else. This is how you would know it wasn't somebody else misspelling the name.
If you're someone else and you're taking an SAT or ACT for someone, No, you have to know how to spell their name. You're trying to make some sense of this. There's none. It's stupidity. No, by the way, if someone else has taken, if he couldn't put together a formula for someone else to take the test that was smart enough or thorough enough to spell his name correctly, that's even worse than misspelling it yourself. So that in junior college for 3 years because he screwed that up.
Yeah.
I mean, good for Kentucky. Congratulations, you went to Kentucky. Your degree's worth less than it was 2 days ago. They're the school that lets guys in that can't spell their own names.
Oh, my
God. And that's not like a dyslexic thing either. No. That's just not being able to spell your name. I mean, that's just not spelling your name. So, congratulations. Well, the Texas...
So, it says that doesn't seem to be that big of a deal. You do have a producer who spelled his name B-R-R-D. I do remember that in his rap song.
Oh, I could see Bird completely misspelling his name on something.
Like writing it down? Mm.
Oh, absolutely. I could see him just using an X.
Because I could see him just misspeaking when he was like,
B to the I to the R to the D.
He wrote that down. He wrote that down.
Sure, but writing it and rapping it, I guess it's two different things.
No, he wrote B to the R to the R to the D. He wrote it down and then
B
read
to
it.
The I to the R to the D.
I don't know why you keep trying to find angles that none of this. He wrote that down.
I don't think he did because I was with him.
So he just went in and tried not, he just didn't try?
I just think he just looked at it. It was B-I-R-D, and it came out of his mouth.
B to the I to the R to the D.
Okay. All right. Chris Forsberg is going to join us, talk about the Celtics. No commercials here, just the headlines.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. HelplineMA.org.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.